So quickly, just about me. As I said, Simon Copland is my name. I'm from the Australian National University in Canberra, and I met Tommaso when he visited the university in earlier this year, and we have a lot of research interests together, and he invited me to come here. I'm also going to Amsterdam for 2 weeks for a summer school. And as you'll see my PhD research, I'm about halfway through my PhD, so the research I'm presenting today is the starting analysis, and really this is the first time actually I'm presenting some of this analysis, which is why I'm a bit nervous, but also doing it in a foreign country is also adding to that a little bit. But what I really want is feedback and sort of ideas and constructive criticism. Tommaso and I have also been talking today, and so there's already changes afoot from what I've got presented, but we'll sort of move on. So just quickly today, what I want to do is I'll give you a bit of background to my research and talk about what I'm doing and why I think it's interesting. I'm going to examine the social network structure of the Manosphere on Reddit, which is my main research site, or my only research site. I'm going to examine some of the discourse of the Manosphere on Reddit as well and talk about some of the complexity of the discourse, which I'll explain. And then I'm going to talk about what I'm doing next and talk about my further analysis. And that's where I hope to get some feedback and some ideas from all of you. So the Manosphere. You remember in 2017, a guy called Alex Manassian sped a rented van through Toronto in Canada, killing 11 people and injuring many others. In the wake of the attack, it was discovered that Manassian belonged to a community of online subcommunity called incels or involuntary celibates. And it was this attack that really furthered debate about incels, which continues today. Incels believe that they have been denied sexual or romantic relationships primarily due to the modern societal standards around beauty and relationship norms. And they often blame women and feminism for this, for these things. Incels speak disparagingly about Chads and Stacys, which are sexually promiscuous men and women respectively, or people who are sexually successful. And in a post online prior to his attack, Manassian wrote, "The incel rebellion has begun, and we will overthrow the Chads and Stacys," showing a direct link between his beliefs in the community and this attack. And incels are part of an online ecosystem increasingly described in literature, but by users themselves as the Manosphere. And as you can see, this is from Know Your Meme, the popular website. The Manosphere is a neologism used to describe a loose network of blogs, forums, and online communities on the English-speaking web that are devoted to a wide range of men's interests, from life philosophies and gender relations to self-improvement tips and strategies for success, life, relationships, and sex. The Manosphere ranges across a range of different interests, from seduction tactics associated with pickup artists, if anyone has heard of that, and the forum called The Red Pill, which I'll talk about a lot today, self-betterment and self-help, anti-feminist campaigns, and men's rights activists. And the Manosphere is spread across a range of different platforms, including 4chan, Reddit, YouTube, Twitter, and specific dedicated forums associated with Manosphere ideas. So the incels, for example, have their own forums, their own web forums. So why is the Manosphere interesting? Obviously the Manosphere is interesting because there is a growing political debate about the Manosphere, particularly following attacks such as those that Manassian conducted. But there have been other similar attacks in sort of a similar vein. But I think academically it's interesting for two key reasons, or there's two key reasons I'm interested in it. First, and I mean, this probably taps into the earlier presentation, although I didn't understand any of it, unfortunately, we are seeing an increased debate about and concern about the role of the internet, in particular social media, in our society as a whole, and in political and social discourse. There's been an increasing trend in academia about the concern about the internet's capacity to spread misinformation, to foster conspiracy theories, and in particular to spread abuse and to facilitate violent attacks. And many have turned their attention to platforms such as Reddit and 4chan with increasing concern about the role that these platforms are playing in spreading these ideas. And secondly, the Manosphere. We've seen in recent years, we've seen an increasing focus on gendered violence and abuse in Western countries, or at least we have in Australia, where I'm from. The Me Too movement has very much sparked increasing debate about gendered violence, about abuse, and this is also happening online. A core part of this debate has been focused around segments of community who oppose or flat out deny the existence of gendered violence. And these groups are called MRAs or men's rights activists, and there's increasing political but also academic interest in men's rights groups. And despite potentially some of the small nature of them, which I will discuss pretty soon. And the Manosphere is a perfect sort of melding of these two academic and social concerns. And alongside the attack from Manassian and others like him, the Manosphere has played a role in a number of high-profile campaigns of online abuse and misogyny. So there are a couple of case studies here. So if anyone's heard of Gamergate, which is probably the one that everybody talks about in this instance, which was a coordinated campaign of abuse and doxing targeted towards women in the gaming industry. And it's a campaign that continues, and there is a subreddit that is still dedicated to that called Gamergate. They would not say it's about abuse. They say it's about truth and honesty, but it did involve a lot of abuse. There was other things called The Fappening is another event that happened on Reddit a number of years ago in which a number of sexual photos, naked photos of high-profile celebrities were released online and then spread widely. And on Reddit, it resulted in a subreddit being created that gained 100,000 followers within a week and spread widely. And this sort of spread of this sort of sexual abuse in this kind of way. And events such as this have led to a flurry of popular press and academic attention increasingly, with a particular focus on the role the internet plays in facilitating online abuse and misogyny. However, the reason I'm interested in this is that I find much of this debate frustrating and too simplistic. Here are some examples of some texts, some books on the left-hand side. This one called Not All Dead Men, White Men was actually written by the sister by Zona Zuckerberg, who's the sister of Mark Zuckerberg, who has an interest in classics and talking about the role that the Manosphere uses in tapping into classical literature. But we see a range of different media articles on the right-hand side. This one at the top right, incels have a plastic surgery to attract women, came out in the last couple of days in the Australian national broadcaster, the ABC. And reading a lot of this material, I find myself increasingly frustrated about the nature of the debate around the Manosphere. Firstly, I find it too simple and it lacks a range of nuance. It attaches itself to the very high-profile attacks, which are, of course, very serious, but it attributes that those sorts of feelings of people like Alex Manassian to the entirety of the community, which I think is lacking a range of nuance that exists there. And in doing so, it doesn't understand the complexity of the spaces. These debates very rarely understand the complexity of the spaces. In particular, it doesn't engage with why these spaces are popular, apart from an understanding of these men just being bad somehow. And I find sociologically that that is not suitable and that we need to be trying to understand more in depth why people are attracted to the spaces, how these spaces facilitate misogyny, acknowledging the obvious harm that misogyny creates. But we need to be able to understand how that occurs in order to try and counteract it. We cannot just say it is inherently only because these men are just inherently bad somehow. And it, as I said, it in turn ignores some of the other elements that are occurring within the Manosphere. It assumes it's only a space of violence and abuse, which through my reading is not true. While that violence and abuse is certainly there and it's certainly prominent, there are other things that attract men to this space and we need to understand that. And finally, I find that a lot of this discourse is technologically deterministic and it blames sites like Reddit and 4chan as being the cause of this, rather than understanding some social conditions that interplay with these technologies to understand how these things work together to create the sorts of attacks and events that we have seen in these spaces. And so I find myself disappointed and frustrated reading a lot of the discourse, particularly in the popular press, and in turn found myself drawn to wanting to research this in more depth. And this is the starting point of that research and trying to understand this space in more of a complex way. And I'm going to go through my research structure to outline that. So my research purpose and questions. So I really have this split my research thesis into two parts. And you'll see there's quite a lot of questions here. I'm constantly in the process of narrowing down because there's just so much I want to learn. But for my thesis, I'll be narrowing this down. But I have really two parts to this thesis. So first, the first part and the part I'll be focusing on today is the question, what is the Manosphere on Reddit? And what I'm trying to understand here is a lot of the discourse about Reddit, about the Manosphere, because it is such a new thing, hasn't actually gone into depth of understanding what it is yet. And that's because of the newness of it, because there's not that work being done, but I hope to provide that analysis to understand really what it is that we're talking about when we talk about the Manosphere. And there's three things that I really want to engage in here with three parts of this debate. So first, I'm looking at the question of, is the Manosphere a subculture or a form of publics? And I'm going to go into that in a little bit of depth. This is something that we actually started discussing today, and I've added it to the slides today. So this is a new question for me, but it's a really valuable one. A subculture, understanding, this is trying to understand what sort of community structure there is in the Manosphere. So a subculture is a community based in cultural practices, one in which the cultural elements are primarily dominant, whereas a publics is more based around topic and engagement with that topic and where these cultural forms are less important. My initial thinking is that there's elements of both of these things in here, but I wanted to be doing analysis to understand whether we can understand this as a subculture of some form, or whether this is a space debating around ideas and in terms of forms of publics, and more linked, more closely thought of potentially as even more closely to a social movement of some form. The second, the way I want to do this is to be examining the network indicators of the community structures, but also examining the structure, which is something I will show today, some of the initial analysis. And then I want to look at the structure of the discourse, understanding how discourse operates in the space, whether it's a deep version of a deep discourse or a very broad discourse, whether we're seeing echo chambers forming and whether this is an echo chamber or whether there's debate occurring, and whether there's a form of contagion, whether joining the space leads people to be more inclined to engage in the more violent language by trying to one-up people within the space. The second thing, and this is another thing I'll look at today, is what is the dominant discourse of the Manosphere in Reddit, and I'll talk about that. And I'll be using primarily qualitative analysis of the content that I've got to provide that analysis. And thirdly, what role do technological affordances play in shaping activity, community formation, and discourse within the Manosphere? And this is really looking about what is the role that Reddit plays as a platform in shaping how the discourse and the communities are formed. What is the role of Reddit as a platform? And these three questions I want to then facilitate the second part of my thesis, which is examining sort of, this is a work in progress, how I'm asking this question, but it's primarily what does the Manosphere do? And what I'm looking at here, what does the Manosphere do for and to participants, and what does it do to and for society? And this is where I'm engaging with these debates that I find myself dissatisfied with, trying to understand a bit more in a bit more complex way, first of all, why it is that people are participating in the space and what they get out of the space, and then also trying to go into depth about what influence this space has in broader society. I think that there's potential to talk about this in a way that has a little bit of overkill sometimes, seeing it as a big overarching threat. And I think we want to take a step back and examine it in depth to understand what influences it's actually having in society, and potentially what does it do for participants that could be positive in some ways? What are the potential positive things that could come from that we could take and sort of move forward with? Am I going too fast? I don't want to... Okay, excellent. I'm just very cautious of this for myself today. So today, I am not going to be talking about the second question as much, because this is analysis that I'll be doing next year. So I've got ideas about it. And mostly I'm going to be focusing on these first two questions in my analysis today. Oh, there'll be a little bit on that third question as well. So let's just go through some of my research sites and my research methodology. So firstly, I'll be examining this through these questions through Reddit. I'm sure most of people know what Reddit is, but it is it's a new social news site where users post, share, and discuss and rate news, personal stories, political theory, and ideas. And so users submit contents such as links, text posts, and images on themed subreddits, which are then, and this content is then voted up or down by members. Subreddits can be either public or private, and all of the subreddits I'm examining are public, so that you could go and have a look at them today. Subreddits are moderated by individual users, so you can create a subreddit. So we could all join Reddit today and create a subreddit based on any topic we want. And topics range from politics to Game of Thrones to Japanese anime to everything you can think of, to every sport you can think of, anything in the world really. And there's a whole range. When you create a subreddit, you can create rules, which I will talk about, and also assign moderators who moderate content within that. Reddit users have also created a set of community-wide expectations around discourse called the Reddicate. And there is also rules that are enforced by Reddit itself as a community. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit in a minute, or sort of towards the end of the discussion around one rule that they have imposed on my two of my subreddits that I've looked at. And in literature, Reddit is really identified as a key space within the manosphere, Reddit and 4chan in particular. And Reddit in particular was a central space around the Gamergate issues, and they're a central space in the three communities that I'll be discussing today. Reddit provides advantages for me as a researcher compared to other online spaces. Firstly, it's really the largest of these types of sites. And due to the size, there are many subreddits that contain tens or hundreds of thousands of subscribers, and in turn, it's a rich source of data. Reddit is also the access through the API is very easy to access, and I've been able to access a large amount of data through Reddit, giving me a broad depth and breadth of content that I am examining of the manosphere. However, just to be note that because of the particular way that Reddit functions, this is obviously therefore not a broad understanding of the manosphere as a whole, because it appears on different spaces, and the manosphere is different in different parts of the internet. And particularly thinking about where the manosphere has their own forums, it is often there where some of the more extreme rhetoric occurs, because there is less regulation of those spaces. So I've chosen three research sites for my PhD, and that's three subreddits. One are the Red Pill, the second called MGTOW, or Men Going Their Own Way, and the third is Brain Cells, which is the current iteration of the Incel Forum. I talked about Alex Manassian being an incel. This is an incel forum. A lot of the incel forums were banned from Reddit in 2017, particularly around the time of the Manassian attack, and this was a new forum that was created at that particular point of time. So when it comes to the manosphere, there are really two types of groups discussed in the literature, two broad types of groups. The first is the more activist types, the men's rights activists, who are focused on issues such as family courts, death in the workplace, suicide, etc., etc. And the second are groups focused more on sex, relationships, and self-help. And these groups are much less activist-focused and more focused on individual solutions and community building, concerns about sex in the modern world for men, and solutions in a form of that provide solutions in a form of dealing with this sort of sexual malaise that they believe exists. These two groups, the activist groups and the more sexual self-help groups, cross over in many ways, and there are lots of links between them. But my analysis, due to the needs of confining it down, focuses on the second group, which is more focused around sex, relationships, and self-help. And within this sphere, that means I've chosen these three subreddits. I chose these three subreddits because they represent the largest subcommunities. So I'll quickly discuss these three communities in a second, but these represent the largest of the subcommunities focused around sex and relationships within the manosphere. And these are the largest subreddits associated with these communities. All of these subreddits, there are also side subreddits associated with them all, but all of these are the largest of these communities. So to quickly explain the three communities, I've explained incels already. These are men who believe that they have been denied access to sex and relationships due to a whole range of factors, and often blame women for that. Men Going Their Own Way, MGTOW. These are men who believe that relationships are inherently bad for men, or that they're inherently negative, and have decided in turn to give up on relationships entirely, so they're going their own way. And so they talk actively about not being in relationships and focusing on themselves as individuals. And the Red Pill are associated primarily with pickup artists and seduction tactics. And so they think that there is something wrong in society around relationships and sex, and they focus on strategies for how to overcome that. So things like going to the gym, using seduction tactics, using better self-help things in order to be able to pick up women and to form relationships with women. My data collection period runs from November 2017 to December 2018. So in November 2017, Brain Cells established. That was when it established. So this covers the period of its establishment and then a year, so 14 months of data for across the three subreddits. My methodology, I've accessed data on these subreddits using the website called pushshift.io. Pushshift provides a comprehensive snapshot of Reddit data collected from the Reddit API, and it's released on a monthly basis. So we can all go to Pushshift now and download a month's worth of Reddit data if we wish. And I worked with the founder of that to collect 14 months worth of data for these subreddits. So he was very helpful to me in downloading the particular data that was required. The size constraints made it difficult, impossible to do anything longer than that because the data is so large. And you can see that I have a total of, for the, across the three subreddits for 14 months, I have a total of 171,082 submissions and 3,741,757 comments. And that is after I deleted the deleted ones. So sometimes users will delete their profile and that appears. So I deleted the deleted profiles and that brought me down. So I actually started off with a file of over 4 million comments initially. So you can see it's quite a large data set. Going anything bigger would have been impossible, really, or would have been much more difficult. So now I just want to present some of my analysis and go into this. And this is where I say this is the early indicators of my analysis. And I want to go into some of this, and I would really appreciate feedback on this. So the first question, is the manosphere on Reddit a subculture or publics, and what is the structure, scale, and network properties of the manosphere? So firstly, just looking at the scale of the data that you've put, and you can start to see some really interesting things from the scale about the nature of these subreddits if we just by examining the scale of them. So as I said, these are the subscriber numbers on the left here of these three different subreddits. And this is approximate because it's hard to judge when you pick the subscriber numbers because they change across the 14 months of my data collection. But towards the end, this is about where they were. So the Red Pill had a total of 300,000 subscribers. Brain Cells was about 35,000. And MGTOW was about 60,000. When we shift this to understand the number of comments that are within my data set, we can see a real interesting disparity that exists here. And I'm going to go into this disparity pretty soon. Whereas while the Red Pill has the vast majority of much, much larger number of subscribers, they also have far fewer comments in the space. So there's a lot less discourse happening within this space. So they have about 260,000 comments, whereas both the Brain Cells and MGTOW are over 1.5 million comments across this time. And so you can see a disparity that exists, and I'll explain why I think that is the case, my hypothesis for that later, but you can start to see some interesting elements here. So how am I answering some of these questions? So I'm using a network analysis approach to examine the community structures and the network structures of the space. I think a network analysis approach is valuable as it provides a relational account to the social media data, and it sort of goes into these questions of communities and why people are attracted to the space, which is the stuff I'm really interested in. I think also a network approach allows us to examine the relationship between individual users and Reddit as a space itself. And I think that this taps into the question that Maris uses in her text, Digital Sociology, which is the question of, are we researching society and or technology? And initially, I was very much in the question of I'm researching society, but I've come down to the conclusion that I must also be researching technology and that Reddit as a platform plays an important role within my analysis and that Reddit itself is an actor within this space. And I think a social network analysis provides opportunities, and I'll talk about how I've done this, to examine Reddit as a space, as an actor within this space. However, there's challenges of doing social networks on Reddit, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit. So firstly, it's really notable that Reddit does not, there isn't much work done on doing network analysis on Reddit. There's not much I've been able to find. And so a lot of these networks we're creating are relatively new and new concepts. And so it's hard to understand, to compare it to anything else because it's hard to see whether what we're creating is new and there's a lot of time I'm spending making, you know, doing sanity checks to make sure what I'm doing makes total sense. The second thing, and I'll go into this now, is about the nature of Reddit as a space. And so we can look at the structure of Reddit like this. So if anyone hasn't used Reddit, this is what a Reddit post looks like. This is one I dragged off yesterday from MGTOW. They like Nietzsche on MGTOW, so they do talk about him a little bit. So on the left here, you have a post. So someone posts something. This is a user, you might not be able to see it there, but it's user Sigmatur who has posted this image here. On the left, you can see the scores. So Reddit post users users can then vote up or down on this, and it creates an aggregate score. So this one has a score of 396. And you can see down the bottom it has 10 comments, and there are other things you can do with this post. And then on the right-hand side here, we have users commenting on the post. So you have an initial comment, which then also has a score, and then people can respond to those comments, and so on and so forth. And so there's some challenges here associated with how do we create a network that is associated with this. And so there's a couple of things that I've done. There's a couple of issues here. Firstly, Reddit operates as a comment board on individual subtopics. And you can post, as I said, in this kind of way. And the issues associated in particular here is that firstly, the anonymous nature of Reddit. So users don't create a name, they don't use their real name. And so we don't know who, so when we think about it as a network or a community, there's not a real name that we can use and create those connections. But also similarly, unlike something like Facebook, users don't create connections, or Twitter, users don't create connections with individual other users. So you don't follow a user, you don't become friends with a user, the only connection you have with a user, or at least that I can identify through the API, is through commenting on a comment or a post that they have already posted. And that is the only way we can draw those connections. So unlike these other, we can't look at follower relationships, and so it's hard to create, and that creates challenges in creating a network. What I'm doing here and what I'm going to present is two types of networks that I have created so far. And that is first looking at the relationship between users and the subreddit itself. So as you can see up here, it says MGTOW. So we can see through the data that I have that users are connecting to particular subreddits and understanding how these connections work and understanding the way that users work across different subreddits. And the second network that I'm looking at is looking at a user-to-user network that examines these relationships on the right here and looks at who is commenting on who and trying to see whether there's a form of networks that are creating, whether there's any community structure, whether any people are playing dominant roles within the space, whether there are figures of authority, et cetera, et cetera. So as I said, these are three networks that are created, user-to-subreddit, user-to-user, and individual threads, which I've not begun, so I won't be able to present that today. So this is the first network that I've created, and I'm doing some work on this, but this is a user to subreddit network. So this is using the entirety of my data set, the 14 months, both submissions and comments. The three big dots in the middle represent the three subreddits. So the smaller dot on the right, the red one, is the red pill. The blue dot is men going their own way, and the green dot is brain cells. And the other nodes in this network are all of the users. And so what we're looking at is over the 14 months, who has posted, either posted a submission or commented on which subreddit. And so we can start to identify how much cross-posting there is across the different subreddits and how people connect between subreddits. And really trying to understand here whether the Manosphere is a community, a broad community as a whole, whether there are people existing across the space, or whether people are really focused on their individual sub-communities within the space. And so you can start to see this analysis straight away. So you can start to see these big sort of three fans on either side, which identifies users who are only posting on the one subreddit within my data set across this time period. And so these are people who are engaged in these one space. But in the middle there, we can see, and it's approximately about 10% of the network that engages with either two or all three subreddits. And we can start to see clumps of people across here. So on the left here, you have people who are more engaged with men going their own way, but are engaged also with the brain cell subcommunity. On the top right, you have the similar, with people who are more engaged with the red pill, but are also engaged with men going their own way. And so what I want to do here is start to examine who these people are and what role are they playing. There's different hypotheses here, and I haven't been able to do this analysis in depth yet. As I said, there's a lot of this is early work, but there's two options here. So they could be providing bridges and connecting people across the different space, or they could be shitposting. They could be participating in one community and then going to the other community to tell them how bad they are or how terrible they are, because there is differences between these spaces. And so understanding that is going to be really valuable to my analysis. So I can start to identify some of these bridges. So for example, this is just really zoomed in on two users. that we can start to examine the role that these people play. So I chose these two users at random and then went and had a look at them, Shark Swag and Tendi Supremacy. And what I found is that what you can also see is very little engagement. These people had, across the 14 months had only actually posted 3 or 4 times, and it happened to be across all 3 subreddits. We do have some who post more regularly across the 3 subreddits. I'm going to show those people in my next network, so I'll come back to that. But we can start to connect and understand how people are posting across subreddits and the what role that the community plays, that this overall sphere plays in the community. And secondly, so just going back to this structure of Reddit, I'm then doing a user-to-user network. And there's a bunch of code that I did to develop this, but basically what we're looking at is a network in which the nodes are the different users and the edges of the space are the connections through comments. So in this instance, I can't see that very clearly, but you have a user called MGGOW Autumn, who's the second person here, and they have commented, they have replied to also Kulafid, and that would create an edge link because they have responded directly to that person. And this is a weighted one, so we can see who is responding to who and who is connecting to who. Just a quick note on the scale of this. So when I created these, we can see the number of active users in this space, in each of the 3 spaces. And again, you can start to see some really interesting disparities that exist here. So just on the right-hand side, this is the graph that I presented earlier, which is the subscriber numbers. So again, 300,000 for the red pill and less for brain cells and MGTOW. On the left-hand side, we can see the number of active users across the 14 months from each of these 3 subreddits. And so the red pill has less than 4,000 people who are actively engaged with it, which is quite a disparity from the 300,000 people who are subscribed to it. And the brain cells and MGTOW were just under 10,000. So there's a disparity in terms of the proportions that exist between these spaces, but also in the terms of just the sheer numbers. When you have 300,000 people subscribed to a site and only 4,000 people, it's sort of the subscriber number actually becomes less relevant when you're understanding how many people are actively active in this space. So this is the user network that I have created based on this data. It's a huge network. It has 110,000 nodes and quite a lot of quite a lot of edges in this space. So it's a bit blurry, but what we can see here, and I'm just going to show this briefly because at the moment it's really hard to examine this without being able to zoom in on it, it's hard to examine on a PowerPoint slide. But we can start to see the very distinct communities that exist between the 3 different subreddits. So in this case, the blue down here on the left is the red pill. The green space is men going their own way, and the purple space is brain cells. So we can see those very distinct communities, but we can also see the bridges that exist. So it might be hard to tell, but there are things connected in these spaces. There's quite a lot of purple things going across in these middle spaces. So we can see people who are connecting across. What we can then do from this is start to examine the key players, and we can examine trying to examine the structure of these subreddits and how they play out individually. I'm going to show some of that now. So firstly, look at the key players. So we can have an examination of the out degree and in degree. So out degree is people who are posting a lot or commenting a lot, and in degree are people who are being commented on a lot. And we can start to see some of this play out. I might just stand up because it's a bit easier. But here we can see quite a few nodes who are posting a lot. This one player I'll show in a second in more depth is quite an active user. In this space, we don't see many people who are posting quite a lot in this space here. Again, we can see quite a few nodes who are posting a lot in here. And what's interesting for me is that we can see this change when we go to people who are being posted on. So you can see, again, some of this is still quite the same. This actor is both an active poster and someone who gets posted on a lot, who gets replied to a lot. But in particular, in this space, while there's nobody who is commenting very actively, there are particular people who are getting lots of replies to them, which suggests levels of authority to those actors, and I'll show that in more depth. One really interesting node in the middle here, this is the auto-moderator. So the auto-moderator is a bot that automatically moderates based on the rules of the subreddit, so they can delete posts. So in this space, you're not allowed to post a submission unless you have had a number of comments on other submissions. So if you were to moderate here, if you were to post a submission here, the auto moderator would automatically send you a message and delete the post. So you can see this sort of playing a role in all 3 subreddits across this space. And from here, we can then zoom in and examine particular users. And this is where we can start to see the bridges that play a role here. So these are two users that I've picked at random, but are also very active. So I mentioned in these graphs this very big green dot, and that is this user here called Kefa Lime, who is very active in both of these spaces. So this is the nodes are changed for in degree, so the amount of replies that they're getting. And you can see the central role that they play within their own community, the men going their own way. But you can see that how they also he also links out to this brain cells community. So there are people who are in that space who are commenting on his posts, either in brain cells or coming in to comment on his posts in MGTOW. And you can see a similar pattern for this person called Salvador66, who is this big dot in the middle here in this purple one. And you can see these people, a bit more of an active community engagement with MGTOW. And so you can start to see how the people are playing roles as bridges. And what my next analysis will be, or to examine users like this in depth to see what kind of discourse that they're engaging with whilst they're doing this. So just quickly, I want to go through. So what we can then do is zoom in from this and examine each of the three subreddits. This is all the network analysis that is really new. So I'm presenting these graphs, so I'm going to be showing them, but I don't actually have much to tell you about them because I've got to do a lot of work on them. But we can start to see the individual network shapes. So this is the men going their own way network. I've just zoomed in on 1 month here just to make it clearer in terms of the image. So this is August last year of my data set. But you can start to see some of the structures. So in reality, in this space, the lack of structure that exists within the community. So you don't see many sub-communities in this space. You don't see many clusters. You see some key players in these dots that exist, but very little structure that is existing. And that says something about how this exists as a community or how it actually potentially doesn't exist as a community in many ways. The same goes for the subreddit brain cells. You've got some more active key players in this space. Some of those dots are a bit bigger. It's a bit hard to tell on this image. But you can start to see, again, it's very similar structure, very similar lack of structure in many ways. My job is to examine and see if I can find a bit more structure in here. But at the moment, my initial analysis says there's very little structure, except for some key players who are acting in these spaces. This is very different to the third subreddit, and this is the one that has been the anomaly in all of the data so far, and that is the red pill. And I've noted the sort of scale issues are associated with the red pill. And you can see that very differently in the structure associated with it. So again, it's not a very structured space. There's not many subcommunities that you can pull out here. But there's two things that are very different about this subcommunity, at least in my initial reading. So the first is that you can see that it's much smaller. Even though it has a much larger subscriber base, which indicates that people are engaged less or are commenting less, and I'm really interested in why that's the case. But also these other dots are much larger in comparison to the rest of the community. So you can see some of these nodes are very, very active users, people who are really engaged in the space and who are dominating the space in many ways. And there's quite a lot of them who are much, much larger in this space. And so I was, you know, some of my initial analysis, what I was looking at is trying to understand why this is different. And I can just quickly go through that. So the main reason that I believe in my main hypothesis about why this space is different, but I need to do some more analysis, is related to the rules and the hierarchies. So as I said, a subreddit can, founder and moderators can create rules. And so this is the rules of the red pill that they can then moderate. So you'll have moderators who will come and moderate people and tell people either to change their tone or to they'll delete comments or they might even ban a user if they continue to break the rules. And so you can see some of the rules here. Stay on topic, no moralizing. They have another subreddit called Ask the Red Pill, Ask TRP. So if you've got personal questions, you go to there. No concern trolling, do not insult or harass members, etc., etc. But more importantly, in terms of the structure of the space, they have this thing called endorsed contributors. And so on Reddit, you can get a tag next to your name, that identifies you as a special user in that space. So if you're a moderator, you might have your username, and then it might say moderator. And in this space, they have endorsed contributors, people that they have endorsed to be the authorities in the space. And there are a range of different tags, so they provide endorsed contributor, senior endorsed contributors, real Red Pill Vanguard, who are the founders of the space. And they are told actively, so you can see on this page on the left here, but they are told users are told actively that these are people you need to respect, and these are people who have authority in the space. There is a lot of theory that's discussed in this space, so these are the people you want to listen to when you're talking about issues here. And my theory is that hierarchy structure is what is changing the nature of the space, and we can look at that here. So you can see this is the same network, but in this case, I've coloured the nodes based on their author type, which is these tags that they are given. And you can see that apart from these nodes just at the top here on these black nodes, the black nodes have no author tags. The majority of these large nodes have some sort of tag associated with them. So those with green have what they call points. So you can get given a point rating, 1 to 4, based on how moderators think the quality of your comments are. You can see endorsements, so people get endorsed as official official people who are engaged in the space. You can see endorsement point. There's a few different things because the tags change across the period of the 14 months, but they all end up being kind of the same. You have one user, Gaylube Oil, is his username, who gets his own tag. And is considered a major player within the space. And you can see here in the greens and the blues, in particular down here, that these users are more heavily engaged, more heavily. So this is an in degree look. So these people are getting commented on a lot. So they're considered, my hypothesis is that they're considered more the authority in the space, and that is shaping the nature of the space itself. So quickly, I want to just discuss the discourse. I'll just do that for 5 minutes and then I'll be finished. Because I think this is also relevant to this question that I was asking. I've got some long quotes here. I won't read them all out, but I just want to go through some of the discourse of what I've got. And these are quotes from the sites themselves. So the main thing that I'm sensing through a lot of this space is a sense of alienation or isolation in some form. And we can disagree about whether these people are alienated and isolated in reality, but the truth is that they feel this, and so it's important to understand how they feel this. So this is a post from the Red Pill, from Brain Cells. And really this is a post that talks about the sexual isolation that a lot of men feel. So there's a whole list here about imagining how a woman feels and imagine being in a relationship with a woman, etc., etc. And then at the bottom she says, this person says, you will never get to experience this because your skeleton is too small, talking about genetic, these people believe that they have genetic issues. All the bones in your face are not the proper shape. Have a nice day. And so they really talk about this sort of real sense of, here is this amazing thing that you could have, but you are never going to have it because of something that is inherently you, something that's inherently related to you. And this is actually called suicide fuel within the space, and these posts are very common. Posts of other people being happy that sort of says that you will never have this, and this real deep sense of isolation and alienation that comes from this. Another example of this, and this is in Men Going Their Own Way, of this sorts of alienation, is this sort of idea of men being under attack in some form, particularly from feminism, and that this is creating a political and social isolation. So this is an image, never apologize for your gender, never apologize for being born a male, never feel guilty for being a male, you're a human being, and despite feminists and the feminist media telling you otherwise, you did absolutely nothing wrong for being a male, and you have absolutely nothing to apologize for. So this notion of men being under attack, and you can see this sort of play out very strongly within the manosphere, that men are under attack, and that men have nothing to apologize for, in particular that notion that masculinity is under attack in some way, and that they need to respond to this. And in the discourse, we can see three different responses that come to these attacks, this social isolation, and they sort of map across the three different subreddits that I'm examining. So the first is complete despair, the second is claim to independence, which involves self-removal from sexual norms, and the third, sexual strategy and the return to masculine norms. So alienation, despair, this is something that I see unfortunately too commonly on the Brain Cells forum in particular. I don't want to read this full out because it is quite upsetting, but this is a suicide note. And this is the kind of thing that happens quite frequently in the space. There are now users who are tracking the number of users who have committed suicide on these spaces, or at least who have said that they were going to commit suicide and then never posted again. And this happens quite a lot. And this happens a lot in the Brain Cells forum of people who are clearly... who respond to these sorts of feelings of isolations through despair and through a feeling that nothing could ever get better. And it most tragically, and this is the most extreme version of this, where it results in suicide notes being posted and I believe actual suicides occurring. And so you can see the real sense of despair that is occurring within that community in particular. The second response from people within the manosphere is what I would call through healing through the manosphere, seeing the manosphere as a way to heal from this, from these sorts of attacks, to from this sense of isolation, and to move forward. And through men going their own way, it's often to move forward independently, to sort of take ownership of yourself. It's a very sort of neoliberal individualist approach. I will be independent. I will go my own way. I will do this myself. Screw society in any of its forms. And so this post is actually from the main one of the, on the subreddits. They often have links to theories and points about it. And this was called Men Going Their Own Way is a Hospital, something like that. Near the bottom, you can see here, this is a hospital, a place to heal and send you on his way. As such, it is a place where you'll see ugly things, you'll see savage illnesses here, you'll see disgusting things here, and you'll see painful things here. And if you go through the treatment, you too might become one of those disgusting things, those savage things, those ugly things. So you sort of, there's this sort of feeling of these disgusting things that are happening, but a way to move forward through being independent. And finally, the third response that I see is a reclaim to sort of, and this occurs in the red pill in particular. And I think it's actually particularly relevant that the red pill is a very hierarchical space, because it's also the space that reinforces the notions of masculinity the most strongest. And so there's a connection between those two things. And so in this space, they instead of going your own way, they I try to reinforce notions of masculinity and encourage men to be more masculine as a way to enter relationships and sexual relationships. And so this is an example of this. In November, they have a thing called Know Nothing November, which is a challenge that you're supposed to join, in which you give up three vices for the month and you take up one daily positive activity. And this occurs a lot through this space where you engage in sort of positive self-help, self-development, these kinds of things. And they have a forum. So in this tracker, this red line, you can go on there. You have a forum. You register for the forum, and then you post a daily calendar saying, "This is okay. These are the things I'm going to give up. This is the thing I'm going to take up." And then you post every day a diary of how you're achieving. And you know, if someone says, "I didn't make it today," then people are encouraging and will say, "Do it again tomorrow. You'll be fine." If people do it, then they encourage them and say, "Well done, well done." You know, keep on going on these kinds of things. So you can see a sense of alienation. And as I said, you know, whether we believe that this alienation is real or not, whether it's deserved, it is definitely felt. And then sort of responses to this that range from complete despair to a sort of sense of self-ownership around it. Naturally, I can't ignore the misogyny that exists within all of this. And I don't intend to in my thesis at all. But I'm just going to touch on it very briefly now. My understanding of the misogyny, and this is something I need to theorize a lot more, is that it comes through a sense of blaming women for the despair that they have been given, or the alienation that has occurred, and then this manifesting in misogynistic abuse and tirades and rants. And there's a whole bunch of work I need to do in terms of understanding the social conditions that have led to those beliefs, but I think that this is the strongest sense that I get of a blaming women for their state, on blaming feminism for their state of the world, and sort of taking it out on women in that way. And there's some interesting literature about misogyny as being a social condition that's sort of related to the challenges that are put upon men. That, you know, they're sort of that, and I think that is kind of the theory that I'm walking down with that. I can go into that more depth, but I don't want to sort of take up other question time. So just quickly, question three. I'm going to skip over this because I've run out of time. I'll just quickly go through the areas for further analysis, and this is the kind of areas that I'm continuing to do some work on here. And I've touched on this a little bit. So I'm looking at this question of whether this is a subculture or a publics, and I need to examine this a lot more. And in doing so, I want to examine the community structures. I want to look at the structure of the communities and look at whether these are more homogeneous or heterogeneous spaces. So are there bridges? Are there people coming in from outside, or are they really echo chambers in which everyone is agreeing with each other's, with themselves? I want to look at the discourse structure. I want us to understand how threads operate individually, and are there debates that occur, or is it really just a shallow discourse that is occurring? So that's looking at the depth or breadth. Are we looking at deliberative discourse? Are we debating? There's something else going on? Is it just everyone agreeing with each other, or are there genuine conflicts and discussions going on? Again, is it homogeneous or heterogeneous? Is it an echo chamber? And how do the spaces shape particular forms of engagement? So how do the rules and the moderation and the activities shape the forms of engagement that are occurring there? And then secondly, and I haven't been able to touch on this today, I really want to look at the role of Reddit as a platform. And I want to examine the hierarchies and the rules that exist in Reddit and how that shapes discourse. There's also an event that occurred partway through my my data collection, in which two of my subreddits were quarantined, and there was a whole range of rules that Reddit imposed on these subreddits that made it so that they were no longer accessible unless you were part of the community already or unless you actively searched for it. So they didn't appear on the Reddit front page, for example. You couldn't make money off them, etc. And that created a whole range of despair within those communities and upset within those communities. And I'm intrigued about how that event shaped discourse and how that event changed discourse. I need to do a lot of analysis to answer those questions. There we go. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Looking for later, like, are you checking the percentage of posts that is like neutral, or the what is the percentage of them that is harmful?
Yep.
What is the effectiveness of users in reprimanding excesses, and also the effectiveness of the rules of each subgroup? And do you believe that Reddit is representative of the core topic of your research, or is it a mild discourse in view of the publicity of the website and also of the self-auto-regulation that is set in place, and that you could find other worse examples, for example, in the dark web? So those are my...
Yeah, I'll just quickly... I'm trying to figure out the scale of how much I can do in terms of my analysis, because there's so many different opportunities. And we've been talking about that with Tommaso a little bit, and with some, like, with my supervisors. And, you know, examining the content analysis in that way, examining how much of it, percentage of it is harmful, I think is super interesting. If I have time, it's something I would love to do. So I'm going to see how I go. And I think that the effectiveness of moderating really comes down to this question of rules and hierarchies that I'm going to be examining. So I think it's a good point to put in. And I think that it will be different across different subreddits. So I think my hypothesis would be that on the red pill, for example, it's much more effective in terms of the way that they engage with that. But that doesn't mean that it's not harmful, that they're moderating out harmful content, because sometimes they think that harmful content isn't harmful content. And so there's that sort of thing that's occurring there. But I think that that will be more sort of stringent than the other subreddits. And I think it'll be interesting to examine that as to contrast and compare, to examine how the moderating practices work. And is Reddit representative, I think, is a really good question. I think that it is to an extent, but it's also not, and that it's large. As you can see, there's a large number of subscribers. It is the biggest space, but that doesn't mean it's the most representative, in the sense that the dark web, for example, is much more, through my own viewing of it, I think is much more harmful, has much more of this sort of very abusive and violent language. As I said, the Red Pill has its own forum. Incels have their own forums, which are set up on their own servers. And that is where you often get the much more violent language, because they don't have the constraints of Reddit. And so I acknowledge that as a reality within the constraints of my research, and that I, you know, the sort of the stuff that I'm talking about in terms of the potentials, complexities might not exist as much in these more negative spaces, because that's where the really bad stuff happens. Thank you for the questions.
I also have another question, or which is related to this question of why Reddit. When I was listening to your presentation, talking about, you know, why do people go to these places and to these subreddits, and the fact that it was a sense of isolation and so on, made me think about the research of a friend who's doing something quite different in terms of content, because she's working on queer liberal Jewish communities. So the content is very different, and I'm not really making any comparison between the incels and queer liberal Jewish communities. But in both cases, it's about people who feel isolated in their society where they live and are trying to find a place to connect. And her work is focusing on Tumblr because of certain properties that Tumblr had, especially regarding, so for a long time, a high tolerance for things that would on Facebook be considered, for example, sexual and censored and so on. And through these properties, people who felt isolated became publics of certain things on Tumblr and sort of met there as well and created some communities. Managed to summarize her findings. I was wondering if similar mechanisms, of course, was a completely different content, but similar mechanisms were at play in how certain properties of queer, they're not necessarily just technical, also the rules, but also some technical elements, resonate with these incel communities and explain why like Freddy's is or was it still Freddy's kind of random, like it's big and
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that there is a mixture of those two things. I think Reddit is big and it's random, and I think that there's the fact that it's focused on topics rather than on, so you subscribe to a subreddit rather than creating those personal links. I think that the anonymity of the space potentially helps, but I think also the freedom of the space, and Reddit has really framed itself and has come under increasing pressure because of this, that it's framed itself as kind of the free speech bastion of the internet. And that is slowly changing because Reddit has become so much bigger and has become under pressure around that. And the quarantines that I spoke about very briefly at the end there are one example of that. But when it comes to something like the Gamergate, for example, Gamergate started on 4chan, which is considered to be the really dark web of the internet. Now 8chan is even worse, but 4chan at the time was considered the dark web of the internet. It happened on there for about 6 months to a year. And then 4chan, the moderators of 4chan got sick of it and they booted it. And it went to Reddit, and that's where it continued. And so Reddit, in that instance, was actually more willing to allow this stuff to happen than even 4chan was. And so I think that capacity to do that has been one of the reasons why Reddit has flourished in this way. So there's multiple different elements that are similar to what, you know, for Tumblr, for queer groups. I think, you know, there are different reasons why people are attracted to different spaces. There's definitely reasons why Reddit became a space for these communities.